And welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Glad to have you with us on this Saturday morning. And glad to have with us this Saturday morning is defensive tackle for LSU, Jacobian Guillory, who participated in a Tigers in the Wild feature. And this Tigers in the Wild preview is presented by Sunshine Equipment, your hometown John Deere dealer. Good morning, Jacobian. How's things been going out there on the practice field? You guys getting ready for USC in Vegas?
Yes, sir. It's been going good. We've been in fall camp, and we just recently switched over to USC, so it's been a good fall camp.
Looking forward to that trip to Vegas.
Yes, sir. I am. I've never been to Vegas before.
Well, you know what they say: what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So we're going to tell everybody what goes on if y'all put a whooping on those Trojans. We hope you do.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about your bow fishing trip, man. It was good to have you on the boat with us, Captain Mark Vogt, on the Bayou bow fishing. Your first time doing it. What were your impressions of bow fishing?
Honestly, I never went bow fishing before, but when I got there, it was kind of quick learning. And after I took a couple shots, I kind of got the hang of it. So it was really fun. I really enjoyed myself, you know, doing something that I'd never done before.
Well, you caught on very quickly. I've seen people who... it takes them quite a while because you got the light refraction, you got a moving target at night, and, you know, you're shooting on a bow and you're really not used to doing that, but you picked it up pretty quickly and got some nice fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I already know how to shoot a bow and arrow, so I guess that came into play.
Yeah, and tell people, you know, a lot of people think it's like shooting fish in a barrel. You put the light on them and they're just sitting right there under the boat. It's not that easy, is it?
No, because the light refracts off the water, and it's 6 inches below.
And you know what I like about bow fishing, too, is, man, what a different view it is. You go out in the daytime, and the water's usually murky, and you can't really see what's down there. But, man, you can see everything with those bright lights, and particularly when you get to some of that clear water where it's filtered through the grass. And not only is it the fish, I mean, there's crabs, there's shrimp, there's all kinds of stuff in that water.
Yeah, but I had a good time though. It was a lot. The water was a little murky, but we could see perfectly fine.
Yeah, well, you did great on shooting the bow and ended up putting some fish in the boat, and we really appreciate it. Enjoyed spending some time with you, and we're really looking forward to this upcoming season. What goals has Coach Kelly set for you guys this year?
For one, to win the national championship. That's our main goal every year because we put in all the work. You know what I'm saying? So. This year, it was a great off season. It's been a great fall camp. So we just want to put all together and try to win the national championship this year.
You know, you've played in several stadiums now. Is there any place like Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night?
Oh, man, it's nothing like it, literally nothing like it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. All right, well, we'll be looking for you. And, again, give us your number so we'll be able to put you in focus and watch your season as it progresses.
Yes, sir, number 90 on the field. I'll be wearing number Guillory the second this year for the first time.
Yeah, very good.
On my back plate.
Very good. We'll be looking for you. And thanks for joining us, Jacobian.
Yes,
really enjoyed the trip. Maybe we can get to do it again next time.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
All righty. Jacobian Guillory, defensive tackle for LSU and featured in one of our Tigers in the Wild, which you can see on Bayou Wild TV if you want to check out the stations nearest you. We air on Fox 15 in Lafayette. We also air on MyTV 16 in Baton Rouge, My54 in New Orleans. We're on Fox 29 in Southwest Louisiana, the Southeastern Channel. Also, we're on Rev TV. And, of course, you can always catch us on the YouTube channel, BayouWildTV.com. You'll find the local listings, the times. And if you choose to do so, check it out on our YouTube. Tigers in the Wild, a presentation of John Deere's famous Sunshine Equipment. They're your hometown John Deere dealer. And by the way, there's going to be a giveaway for a John Deere Gator. And if you happen to see me and Mason Taylor, the LSU tight end, sitting in that purple and gold Gator on the Mandeville Lakefront, we're going to tell you in a little while how you might be able to win it for yourself and be the envy of your hunting club. We're back after this. Captain Mike Gallo, he was doing some freshwater fishing this week up on the White River. We'll get a report on what he caught and how he did it next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we get a report each week from Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. It's a presentation of CETO. You know those guys. They're the ones that come get you when you're in need. Free towing jumpstart you if you have electrical problems. They'll even bring you fuel if you run low. Dock-to-dock towing, and of course you get that on every boat that you own or even borrow. Check them out. You can get it for $299 for an entire year. And you can do that by calling Captain Chris, 504-301-4545 or seatow.com. And from time to time, they put on specials, and we'll let you know when and where those are going to be. Captain Mike joins us now, and he returns from a freshwater fishing trip up in Arkansas on the White River. Mike, were you in that Bull Shoals area? Is that where you were?
That's exactly where we were, Don, fishing right below the Bull Shoals Dam in the White River.
Boy, that is a world-renowned location for trout. Tell us what you caught and how you caught them.
Well, our mornings started with a nice breakfast. All the guys would gather. There was eight of us. The Texas group that I've been fishing with for over 20 years invited me to go up on one of their excursions. They've invited me many times over the years, but I finally had some time and accepted their invitation. So, like I said, we would have breakfast, discuss a little strategy, talk some fishing, head down to the ramp, which was no more than a 10-minute drive. The guides had their boats there. They're kind of small jet drive boats. Each boat's about 20 foot long, kind of flat on the bottom because some of those areas isn't but 4 or 5 inches deep. And we would go either upriver or downriver. The guides knew certain areas they wanted to target. And we threw ultralight tackle. We fished inline spinners. And we caught a variety of fish drifting along with the current. It was quite different than anything I've done. I caught on to it fairly well. And very enjoyable. Very enjoyable time out there.
And it was a combination of rainbows and browns?
We caught rainbow trout, we caught brown trout, and there were a few cutthroat trout caught as well.
Yeah, that's a nice mix. Now, as you're drifting along there, are you trying to cast a structure or just as close to the bank as you can? Or how did you actually work the baits?
If you don't see any structure, you want to throw close to the bank and bring it back to you. It was sort of like we fish jigs in this area. You hop it a few times and pull it, let it fall, just sort of an erratic retrieve to sort of draw attention to yourself. But if you did see like a big boulder or a rock breaking the current, then the fish would often hang out by those structures as well, and you would cast toward those to see if you could get a strike. A lot of fun. Different, but a lot of fun. Very relaxing. That's what several of the guys that I fished with, they said, you know, they've been fishing with me, some of them over 20 years. And they said, Mike, you certainly seem relaxed. And I said, well, I'm not working. I'm not making sure everything's taken care of for you guys. I'm just one of the guys, and everything's taken care of for me. So it was very relaxing. I enjoy going, and hopefully they'll invite me again, and I'll take them up on it.
Well, I've witnessed your hook set on a redfish strike. Did that affect you fishing those trout? Did you have to kind of slow down on it a little bit?
Yeah, the ultralight rod really bends quite a bit. So, you know, I do have a bass fishing style of hook set. I always say I'm not trying to make friends with the fish, I'm trying to catch them. So light line, light drag, limber rod would sort of absorb some of that hook set. I didn't have any issues with any of my equipment. It's only 8-pound test, but the rod is quite forgiving and sort of helps you. It did take me a while to get the hang of trying to cast that light setup because it's just not what I've been doing for so many years. It took a bit to get the hang of casting it. And that little jig we were throwing couldn't have been more than a quarter ounce. Mm. So we got fair distance with it. You know, you're down in that river, there's you're in between valleys and rocks, not much wind at all, so you didn't have any wind to worry about trying to cast into. Enjoyable. I really enjoyed myself. Beautiful lodge up there. So looking forward to going back.
Very good. Mike, in the time we have left, what's your one big tip for somebody headed out to your area, Lake Catherine, Lake Pontchartrain, Biloxi Marsh today?
Well, fortunately, our local fish have been hanging out in the deeper areas, the deeper bayous with moving water, and those areas are going to offer protection from the wind. So those areas, Unknown Pass, Wrigley's Pass, Chef Pass, Miller's Bayou, Catherine Pass, all of those areas are going to be protected from the wind, get up against the shoreline, cast out towards the middle. The marina's going to have good live bait. And if you can find areas where there's shells on the bottom, there'll be a variety of fish down there. Had a boat go out yesterday. He caught some black drum, some sheephead, a couple of redfish, a flounder, a few speckled trout. I think they caught a fair amount of white trout, but elected not to keep any. So there's fish there. What I don't know is if the water's gotten dirty overnight, because the wind's been pretty consistent. As usual, you'll want to find as much clean water as you can. It should be moving. So get out of the wind where you can feel that light bite, live bait on the bottom, and hopefully you'll catch some.
Good to have you back in state, Mike. Somebody wants to get a hold of you and talk fishing and tripping, tell them how to get you.
Very simple. You can reach me at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is AAofLA.com. We're on Facebook at Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or the reliable telephone, 985-781-7811.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We'll catch up with you next time.
All right, Don, we'll talk to you next week.
Here he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, our Born on the Bayou guy. Coming up next, Chris Holmes. He's down in Grand Isle for the Ride the Bull tournament. Going to give us an update on what's going on as hundreds of kayaks are being slipped into the water out of Bridgeside Marina, headed to Caminata Pass in search of a winning redfish. We're back with Chris's report after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for our Paddler's Report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, a presentation of Massey's Outfitters. You're going to find them in three locations, Mid-City New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Covington, and they have some of the best kayak fishing models like Hobies, Jackson Kayak, Native Watercraft, and just tons and tons of products and accessories for those of you who like to paddle for your fish. They also offer demo days where you can try and ride before you buy, and you can find out all that information and more at MasseyOutfitters.com, or you can also check out their Facebook page. Joining us from Grand Isle to talk about the Ride the Bull is Chris Holmes, veteran paddler and kayaker. And Chris, how's things shaping up down there for this year's Ride the Bull?
Don, we're doing good. We, as of close last night, we were right at 300, which is, you know, fantastic. You know, obviously down from some of the record years, but, you know, that's all rodeos and stuff. But you can put 300 on the water. It's a good day. We're going to have a little wind today and a little tide, but they're launching. I talked to a few people that backed out, you know, some of the less experienced, a little nervous, and, you know, that's understandable. There's nowhere to tuck and hide in the past, so you're going to be out there in the elements. But we just hope everybody's going to be safe. We'll have the boats out there. PFDs are mandatory, and hopefully at worst somebody gets wet, and that's it.
Fishing in those conditions with a pretty stiff wind and open Caminata Pass, any specialized equipment? I guess a heavier anchor is certainly going to be important. You're going to have to be able to hold your ground.
Yeah, an anchor and a little bit of chain, but, you know, as we explained at the safety meeting last night, the anchor can also be really bad. You get sideways in that current, you know, especially, or they hang the anchor and they're really jerking on it, trying to get it, and they lean a little bit too over and you have some issues. You know, we recommend tying a float to your rope, and worst comes to worst, you cut it loose, and we'll go back and get it, you know, pull it with a boat or whatever. But that's the biggest thing, is just watching your angles, you know, in the kayak, because fighting the fish or, you know, just fighting the current, you get a little bit off balance, and it doesn't take long to get wet.
What has been your experience on successfully catching bull reds in that pass there? Is there a certain part of it that is usually more productive, and given a stiff east wind, is one side going to be better for you know, getting set up and fishing in another?
The first off, you know, with the wind going out on the coming out of the side, you know, into the Gulf, we're probably going to pull the boundaries in a little bit, you know, just because if you get out there and you do hook up and you got a fish pulling you around, who knows where you're going to end up. So we're doing that. But, you know, obviously the bridge is always a good spot. You got some structure. It'll break the current a little bit and get there. But, you know, what we find with these many people in here, I mean, these fish are roaming and just schools, you know, small schools, but they're just circling. They're going around, you know, because we'll get a school come through and you got four or five people hooked up, you know, all instantly and just going through. I think the biggest thing, especially a day like today, is patience, you know, because you get out there anywhere from 15 to 20 is what I like as far as water depth. And, you know, if you can anchor out, sit it out, you're going to be fishing with bait, you know, on the bottom mostly. There's going to be a few lures used, but for most people, you know, anything from crabs and mullet and cut ladyfish, whatever. And so patience really is probably the biggest factor you're going to have.
We're talking with Chris Holmes. He's filling in as our field reporter for the kayak and paddling segment. He's down at Ride the Bull. Taking place, hundreds of kayaks headed out of Bridgeside Marina into Caminata Pass in search of bull redfish. Chris, getting set up, right bait, right equipment is one thing. Once you hook up, you've caught a lot of big fish, including some big tarpon. What's the key to getting a redfish successfully brought to the side of the boat and getting them to where you can get it to the boat to have it weighed and released?
Yeah, you know, a good thing, you know, decent equipment. You don't want the lightest of rods. I mean, not that they can't be landed because you're in open water and stuff and you can light drag, but that puts a big, you know, bigger strain on the fish, especially in the warm water conditions. So, you know, good medium setup, good leader, fighting it, you know, have a decent drag where, you know, it's not going to break you off. And you just enjoy the ride, as we say, you know. And some of them will pull anchor and, you know, let the fish pull them around. Doing that, you'll actually land them quicker because he's not only fighting your drag, he's fighting the boat, too, you know, where you're sitting there, so he's pulling everything around. So it's just patience, being careful, getting both sides. You know, one good quick thing I wanted to mention, we did team up with the Recreational Fishing Alliance this year. Some of these bulls are actually going to be going on. There's a boat anchored out there right now with tanks on it. They're going to be going to the hatchery to release, first time for Louisiana, I believe, some hatchery-raised redfish. And it's going to be coming from Rod the Bull, so we're kind of excited about that.
Well, you may be running into another Chris, Chris LeCocq. He's down there with our Bayou Wild TV, and he's documenting it, and we're going to follow him out to the fish hatchery and get some footage there and do the whole process so people will be able to watch it. It's an historic event, and it's good that the Rod the Bull is
supporting it. That's great news. Yeah, we're really excited about that.
Yeah, it's certainly a historic event. Well, Chris, listen, thanks for filling in. You did a great job. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Thank you, so. Bye, Don.
Chris Holmes reporting in on our Paddler's Report from the Ride the Bull Tournament, the largest kayak tournament, actually, I think, in the world. All right, we come back after this. It's Bad Boy of the Outdoors time. Had a guy copped a plea. We'll tell you his story back next after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. I want to mention the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator giveaway to support 4-H and FFA across the Louisiana. And you can win that 2024 LSU. It's a beautiful purple and gold gator. And if you want to get a look at it, go to my Facebook page. You'll see me and LSU tight end Mason Taylor sitting in it. And you can win it. You can get a ticket for $20. And all the proceeds will go to Louisiana FFA and 4-H. They'll be doing the drawing. It ends on November 17th. I'm not sure what game, but one of the games they'll actually be doing the drawing and awarding the winner. So check it all out. It's the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator Giveaway. All right, getting back to the text board, let's see. We got this one from Big E in Thibodeau. He says, I participated in the Hunters for the Hungry program last Sunday at Rouse's in Thibodeau. The young man who was receiving the game and fish was very polite and thankful. It made me feel very happy to contribute. Well, thanks for your contribution, Big E. And I got to give a shout-out to Rouse's. I was volunteering at the Rouse's in Slidell. And they really helped me out. They assigned an employee to assist me. And a good thing they had a big tub with dry ice in it because the number of ice chests I brought, I underestimated the amount of turnout, and I wouldn't have been able to contain them all had they not brought that out there. So very successful event and looking forward to next year's. With regard to the whistling ducks, this one says, if you haven't been to the Audubon Zoo lately, in the evening that's all you hear in the trees. That's where they roost. Yeah, well, I guess they fly there from the river. It's not far from some of those grain elevators where they get a lot of their feed. From Big Man Bassin, he wants to know, do I think white trout will be the next species wildlife and fisheries will be setting limits? That's a possibility. If there's going to be limits on the next fish, it would either be the white trout, possibly sheep's head, too. Right now, they're unlimited on size and quantity also. All right, we come back from this 10-second pause. It's time for our bad boy story of the outdoors. Guy pled guilty in federal U.S. District Court to baiting bird, game birds and hunting over that bait. We're back with his plea and the time he'll do right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on sentencing day in federal U.S. District Court of Louisiana in Baton Rouge and Iberville, for those of you outside of New Orleans where it's pronounced Iberville, the Iberville Parish man pled guilty to placing bait to hunt migratory game birds and taking migratory game birds over that baited area. Our story begins on New Year's Day 2023 when Hunter Satoon was celebrating with a duck hunt in Iberville Parish when Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Agent Sergeant Tyler Smith, Corporal Luke Langley, and Corporal Garrett Kirkland witnessed Satoon hunting migratory game birds over an area that the agents had documented to be baited with wheat and corn. As part of the plea deal, U.S. Magistrate Judge Richard L. Bourgeois, Jr. handed down a sentence of $1,135 fine and a one-year suspension from hunting for 20-year-old Hunter Satoon of Bayou Pigeon, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. And not a great way to start off your new year, huh? Okay, back to the text message board. This one says, hey, Don, I received a call from someone representing Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries who was doing a survey of non-resident fishermen. The only question asked was, did I fish in Louisiana last week? Do you know if this is a legitimate survey and what is the purpose? I enjoy your program. I know they do surveys on fishing, both on the dock, and they also do, but normally they would do it through email, but they may be doing it through telephone, and I don't see where it would be a scam if they only asked you one question. If you fished in Louisiana last week, it was probably a legitimate survey, and that is from one of our Mississippi listeners. Let's see, we have this one from Jason and the crew there at my barbershop, Corey's. It's officially college football season. Yeah, and it's officially fishing season and not far from hunting season. Boy, where does the time go? You got to make time for all of it, huh? And Miriam in Lacombe says, I've always thought the place name Happy Jack had to do with the pump jacks used in mining and oil fields, but it might just be my imagination. Well, it could be, but the story I got was there was a very happy guy back in 1874, and they named the post office after him, and they called him Happy Jack, and it stuck at the post office till 1958. If you're driving down Plaquemines Parish, you'll probably see some Happy Jack signs. It's just outside of Port Sulphur. And our friend the Weave is fishing Ride the Bull. Wish him luck. Good luck to you, Weave. Get that red. And we got the old man Sam. He's working the irrigation equipment this morning. How dry I am, he says. All right, we'll be back right after this with Captain Ryan Lambert. Got a lot of questions for him. People are texting and wanting to know more information about him, and I wanted to talk to him about the prospects for the duck season and also his thoughts on the whistling ducks being included during teal season. We're back with Captain Ryan after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And this morning we have an extended version of the Plastic Man feature with Captain Ryan. He seems to be the most popular guy on the text message board for questions, and he joins us now. Captain Ryan, thanks for being with us as always. And, man, I got a lot to talk about with you. First up, I had a guy wanted to know, he wants to get a new rod for speckled trout and red fishing. And he wanted to know what my favorite is. Just generically, I like to use a 6.5-foot medium action. If I'm throwing a top water, I like a little bit longer rod, maybe a 7-footer. But I've got a rod that I got from you, and it's got a Captain Ryan signature on it. It's a 6.5-foot, and it's like a medium action. But there's no brand name on it. It's got your signature on it. Can you tell me, if somebody wanted to get that rod, it's a casting rod with the cork handle, what brand is that?
Ryan Lambert.
So they can only get it through Ryan Lambert.
I actually had my own mandrel, which is a mofa rod made in China. I had two mandrels. three mandrels, actually. I had a 6.5, a 7, and I had a 7-foot spinning rod. And I started making the rods, and they were great because it was my own action that I designed, and it's really, you know, it's really fast action on the tip. You know, it's got a lot of backbone, but it's got a lot of tip.
Exactly.
But you know, when I started selling them, people would break two or three at a time in the window and say, yeah, I broke all three of these fishes. I said, you know what? I'm not doing this.
Yeah. So what would you say is the closest left? What do you say is the closest thing to it if you want to send them out to buy a rod? Because I really love it. I keep a Corrado bait caster on it, and it's my favorite rod to throw for specks and reds because it doesn't weigh you out. It's fairly light. Like you say, it's got that fast tip, but it's got some meat down on the bottom.
Right. So it's a medium action fast. Mm-hmm. So you want to get a 7-foot rod that's got a lot of backbone, but yet the tip is really light. You know, not too light, but just a fast action to where it comes down nice and you can actually feel, you know, when you say it's fast or something, a lot of people don't understand it. But if you fish a limpy rod and you feel the trout, it's like it's slow. It's like it's slow. But when you get a nice tip that's got some backbone under it and it's the tiniest bit stiff, you could actually feel it right away. Boom, it's fast. You know, you can tell the difference. It doesn't have that dead spot in it. You know, you don't have to fish every day to understand it, but it's that good.
Yeah. All right, well, I got some other questions. The topic of the Happy Jack came up again with the naming, and somebody wanted to get a fishing report from Happy Jack, which is close to Port Sulphur on the west side of the river. You know, I know you don't fish there as much because there's been so much lost habitat over there. What can you tell people about fishing there?
Well, you know, when you go out to Happy Jack, you go, you know, normally you're going out to Bay Washington and all that, and, you know, that's common ground with a lot of camps and such, and there's a lot of speckled trout out that way. You know, people just go straight out and go to either to all the junk where the sulfur mine was, or they go towards Fort Bayou. You know, they're always going out. They don't just fish in the marsh and Happy Jack anymore. They're going out to fish speckled trout on the outside.
Right. Someone also wanted to know about fishing for triple tail and mangrove trips that you offer. You know, the mangroves, you can pretty well find those, but the triple tail, man, that's kind of a lanyap fish. You know, if somebody specifically wants to go for triple tail, you better be prepared to do a lot of boat riding and searching.
Yeah, you do. You have to, well, it depends on how you do it. You know, there's two or three different varieties of triple tail fishing, and one that's a lot popular that a lot of folks know about is just hitting the crab trap corks and going and going and going until you see one under there. Or, you know, coming up pretty soon, there'll be debris coming out the river, you know, like water lilies and stuff will start flushing out the river and the marshes, and they'll get under those. So you can follow those and get them. Or you can get them on structures, you know, and that's something that you can do when you find out what section they're at, you know, rigs and poles and stuff like that. And that's how I like to do it because you catch a lot bigger fish.
Excellent. So if somebody did want to book one of those trips, can you put that together for them still this late in the season?
Yeah. Yeah, Captain Cody just got a 25-foot skeeter, so he'll be doing some of that stuff. You know, we like the mangroves and the cobias and all that stuff. So I think with that 25-footer, Cody will do a little bit more of that stuff. And I like it. I was going to do it today, and they said it was a gust of 30, and here it is dead calm.
Come on. Well, at 4:30 this morning, I saw it. They were reporting 23-mile-an-hour winds down at Southwest Pass. I guess that's changed.
Well, that's where I was going with Ed Sexton, so I'm glad it's blowing down there and I'm not there then.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here all heartbroken because I didn't go.
Well, it's possible because Bell Chase, which is not far up the road from you, it was absolutely calm while it was 23-mile-an-hour wind, so it looks like it's down there on that lower coast. Ryan, stay with me. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this duck situation, about the whistling ducks. The department is requesting from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service we put them in teal season, and the numbers are out on the duck population, the breeding population, and some of it is not good, and it might bring about some changes in the regulations for next year. We're talking with the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, and you're listening to it on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we're talking with Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. And, Ryan, I guess you got the notice that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is requesting that we include the black-bellied whistling duck into the limits with the teal season. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a good thing if we could have another species out there. You know, I don't know. And the reason we don't have a wood duck or something, we're worried about identification. Well, you got to identify birds all year long. So no matter when it is, you have to identify your three wood ducks and your one mottled duck and your one pintail. You have to identify them anyhow. So what is the difference? Now, them getting that done this year, slim and none. You know, they don't move at all that fast. I mean, it takes 3 years just to see if you're going to have a three splits or two splits or how many zones. You got to do it in 3 or 5 year sequences. So nothing moves fast when you're talking about the feds.
No, I don't think you're going to see it for sure this season. Possibly. I want to mention the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator Giveaway to support 4-H and FFA across the Louisiana. And you can win that 2024 LSU. It's a beautiful purple and gold gator. And if you want to get a look at it, go to my Facebook page. You'll see me and LSU tight end Mason Taylor sitting in it. And you can win it. You can get a ticket for $20, and all the proceeds will go to Louisiana FFA and 4-H. They'll be doing the drawing. It ends on November 17th. I'm not sure what game, but one of the games they'll actually be doing the drawing and awarding the winner. So check it all out. It's the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator Giveaway. All right, getting back to the text board, let's see. We got this one from Big E in Thibodeau. He says, I participated in the Hunters for the Hungry program last Sunday at Rouse's in Thibodeau. The young man who was receiving the game and fish was very polite and thankful. It made me feel very happy to contribute. Well, thanks for your contribution, Big E. And I got to give a shout-out to Rouse's. I was volunteering at the Rouse's in Slidell, and they really helped me out. They assigned an employee to assist me. And a good thing they had a big tub with dry ice in it, because the number of ice chests I brought, I underestimated the amount of turnout, and I wouldn't have been able to contain them all had they not brought that out there. So very successful event, and looking forward to next year's. With regard to the whistling ducks, this one says, if you haven't been to the Audubon Zoo lately, in the evening, that's all you hear in the trees. That's where they roost. Yeah, well, I guess they fly there from the river. It's not far from some of those grain elevators where they get a lot of their feed. From Big Man Bassin, he wants to know, do I think white trout will be the next species Wildlife and Fisheries will be setting limits? That's a possibility. If there's going to be limits on the next fish, it would either be the white trout, possibly sheep's head, too. Right now, they're unlimited on size and quantity also. All right, we come back from this 10-second pause. It's time for our bad boy story of the outdoors. Guy pled guilty in federal U.S. District Court to baiting bird, game birds, and hunting over that bait. We're back with his plea and the time he'll do right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on sentencing day in federal U.S. District Court of Louisiana in Baton Rouge and Iberville, for those of you outside of New Orleans where it's pronounced Iberville, the Iberville Parish man pled guilty to placing bait to hunt migratory game birds and taking migratory game birds over that baited area. Our story begins on New Year's Day 2023 when Hunter Satoon was celebrating with a duck hunt in Iberville Parish when Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agent Sergeant Tyler Smith, Corporal Luke Langley, and Corporal Garrett Kirkland witnessed Satoon hunting migratory game birds over an area that the agents had documented to be baited with wheat and corn. As part of the plea deal, U.S. Magistrate Judge Richard L. Bourgeois, Jr. handed down a sentence of $1,135 fine and a one-year suspension from hunting for 20-year-old Hunter Satoon of Bayou Pigeon, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. And not a great way to start off your new year, huh? Okay, back to the text message board. This one says, hey, Don, I received a call from someone representing Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries who was doing a survey of non-resident fishermen. The only question asked was, did I fish in Louisiana last week Do you know if this is a legitimate survey and what is the purpose? I enjoy your program. I know they do surveys on fishing, both on the dock, and they also do, but normally they would do it through email, but they may be doing it through telephone, and I don't see where it would be a scam if they only asked you one question. If you fished in Louisiana last week, it was probably a legitimate survey, and that is from one of our Mississippi listeners. Let's see. We have this one from Jason and the crew there at my barbershop, Corey's. It's officially college football season. Yeah, and it's officially fishing season and not far from hunting season. Boy, where does the time go? You got to make time for all of it, huh? And Miriam in Lacombe says, I've always thought the place name Happy Jack had to do with the pump jacks used in mining and oil fields, but it might just be my imagination. Well, it could be, but the story I got was there was a very happy guy back in 1874, and they named the post office after him, and they called him Happy Jack, and it stuck at the post office till 1958. If you're driving down Plaquemines Parish, you'll probably see some Happy Jack signs. It's just outside of Port Sulphur. And our friend the Weave is fishing Ride the Bull. Wish him luck. Good luck to you, Weave. Get that red. And we got the old man Sam. He's working the irrigation equipment this morning. How dry I am, he says. All right, we'll be back right after this with Captain Ryan Lambert. Got a lot of questions for him. People are texting and wanting to know more information about him, and I wanted to talk to him about the prospects for the duck season and also his thoughts on the whistling ducks being included during teal season. We're back with Captain Ryan after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And this morning we have an extended version of the Plastic Man feature with Captain Ryan. He seems to be the most popular guy on the text message board for questions, and he joins us now. Captain Ryan, thanks for being with us as always. And, man, I got a lot to talk about with you. First up, I had a guy wanted to know, he wants to get a new rod for speckled trout and red fishing. And he wanted to know what my favorite is. Just generically, I like to use a 6.5-foot medium action. If I'm throwing a top water, I like a little bit longer rod, maybe a 7-footer. But I've got a rod that I got from you, and it's got a Captain Ryan signature on it. It's a 6.5-foot, and it's like a medium action. But there's no brand name on it. It's got your signature on it. Can you tell me, if somebody wanted to get that rod, it's a casting rod with the cork handle. What brand is that?
Ryan Lambert.
So they can only get it through Ryan Lambert.
I actually had my own mandrel, which is a mofo rod made in China. I had three mandrels, actually. I had a 6.5, a 7, and I had a 7-foot spinning rod. And I started making the rods, and they were great because it was my own action that I designed, and it's really, you know, it's a really fast action on the tip. You know, it's got a lot of backbone, but it's got a lot of tip.
Exactly.
But you know, when I started selling them, people would break two or three at a time in the window and say, "Yeah, I broke all three of these fishes." I said, "You know what? I'm not doing this."
Yeah. So what would you say is the closest left? What do you say is the closest thing to it if you want to send them out to buy a rod? Because I really love it. I keep a Corrado bait caster on it, and it's my favorite rod to throw for specks and reds because it doesn't weigh you out. It's fairly light. Like you say, it's got that fast tip, but it's got some meat down on the bottom.
Right. So it's a medium action fast. Mm-hmm. So you want to get a 7-foot rod that's got a lot of backbone, but yet the tip is really light. You know, not too light, but just a fast action to where it comes down nice. And you can actually feel, you know, when you say it's fast or something, a lot of people don't understand it. But if you fish a limpy rod and you feel the trout, it's like it's slow. It's like it's slow. But when you get a nice tip that's got some backbone under it and it's the tiniest bit stiff, you could actually feel it right away. Boom, it's fast. You know, it's you can tell the difference. It doesn't have that dead spot in it. You know, you'd have to fish every day to understand it, but it's that good.
Yeah. All right, well, I got some other questions. The topic of the Happy Jack came up again with the naming, and somebody wanted to get a fishing report from Happy Jack, which is close to Port Sulphur on the west side of the river. You know, I know you don't fish there as much because there's been so much lost habitat over there. What can you tell people about fishing there?
Well, you know, when you go out to Happy Jack, you go, you know, normally you're going out to Bay Washington and all that, and, you know, that's common ground with a lot of camps and such, and there's a lot of speckled trout out that way. You know, people just go straight out and go to either to all the junk where the sulfur mine was, or they go towards Fort Bayou. You know, they're always going out. They don't just fish in the marsh and Happy Jack anymore. They're going out to fish speckled trout on the outside.
Right. Someone also wanted to know about fishing for triple tail and mangrove trips that you offer. You know, the mangroves, you can pretty well find those, but the triple tail, man, that's kind of a lanyap fish. You know, if somebody specifically wants to go for triple tail, you better be prepared to do a lot of boat riding and searching.
Yeah, you do. You have to, well, depends on how you do it. You know, there's two or three different varieties of triple tail fishing, and one that's a lot popular that a lot of folks know about is just hitting the crab trap corks and going and going and going until you see one under there. Or, you know, coming up pretty soon, there'll be debris coming out the river, you know, like water lilies and stuff will start flushing out the river and the marshes, and they'll get under those. So you follow those and get them. Or you can get them on structures, you know, and that's something that you can do when you find out what section they're at, you know, rigs and poles and stuff like that. And that's how I like to do it because you catch a lot bigger fish.
Excellent. So if somebody did want to book one of those trips, can you put that together for them still this late in the season?
Yeah. Captain Cody just got a 25-foot skeeter, so he'll be doing some of that stuff. You know, we like the mangroves and the cobias and all that stuff. So I think with that 25-footer, Cody will do a little bit more of that stuff. And I like it. I was going to do it today, and they said it was a gust of 30, and here it is dead calm.
Come on. Well, at 4:30 this morning, I saw it, they were reporting 23-mile-an-hour winds down at Southwest Pass. I guess that's changed.
Well, that's where I was going with Ed Sexton, so I'm glad it's blowing down there and I'm not there then.
Yeah,
I'm sitting here all heartbroken because I didn't go.
Well, it's possible because Bell Chase, which is not far up the road from you, is it was absolutely calm while it was 23-mile-an-hour wind, so it looks like it's down there on that lower coast. Ryan, stay with me. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this duck situation, about the whistling ducks. The department is requesting from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service we put them in teal season, and the numbers are out on the duck population, the breeding population, and some of it is not good, and it might bring about some changes in the regulations for next year. We're talking with the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, and you're listening to it on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we're talking with Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. And, Ryan, I guess you got the notice that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is requesting that we include the black-bellied whistling duck into the limits with the teal season. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a good thing if we could have another species out there. You know, I don't know. And the reason we don't have a wood duck or something, we're worried about identification. Well, you got to identify birds all year long. So no matter when it is, you have to identify your three wood ducks and your one model duck and your one pintail. You have to identify them anyhow. So what is the difference? Now, them getting that done this year, slim and none, you know, they don't move at all that fast. I mean, it takes 3 years just to see if you're going to have a three splits or two splits or how many zones. You got to do it in 3 or 5 year sequences. So nothing moves fast when you're talking about the feds.
No, I don't think you're going to see it for sure this season, possibly next season. Now, the 2024 waterfowl survey was completed on the number of breeding ducks. And you know, the thing that's disturbing to me is the blue-winged teal. The blue-winged teal is now down to 4.599, and blue-winged teal has regulations that if it's between 3.3 and 4.7, you only get 9 days, which is where we are now. You don't get any days if it ever drops below 3.3 million. I don't see that happening. But we've been enjoying the 16 days because it's over that 4.7. It's now dropped below that, so it's not going to affect this season, but next year we could be looking at a 9-day teal season.
Well, the good thing is that after they made the count, we had a massive rains up there, and the pond count went way, way up, and the water went way up, and there was some late broods coming. So we're going to have more ducks than what they counted, and they still talk about three pintails next year.
Right.
The gender is off or something like that. You know, there's too many males to the females. So I don't, I really don't know how, except all the people shooting them female with gray ducks and counting them as, you know, saying they, you know, the gray ducks and they pintails. But we don't, we try not to shoot a female.
Yeah. Well, the numbers, the mallards are up, which is what they set the season on, the adaptive harvest season. They're based, whether you get 60 days or 45 or 30 days, is based on the mallard count, which really isn't that important because we don't see mallards South Louisiana at all. The gray ducks are down from last year.
Yeah,
widgeon is that. Up 55% on the widgeon.
Up on widgeons.
Green winged teal up 20%, but those blue wings are down 12.
You know, and I wonder why. You know, it's kind of weird. They in the same ponds. It's just where they were. There's less ponds, and now there's a lot more ponds. I mean, the pond count really went up, and that's going to be really good for next year. You know, you got to have water, and when you have those dry ponds like we had, they're going down for the last 2 or 3 years. It really affects the ducks, but. The pintails, they nest in the fields, and that's the problem there. You know, so much agriculture, just wiping them out. It's disheartening, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. But, you know, it's almost unfair to judge what you guys do down there. You know, I get reports from all over this state. I get reports from other states. And I got to tell you, there's no place more consistent, despite whatever conditions you got, that is going to attract more ducks than what you've got right down near the mouth of the river.
Yeah, well, you have it's the nutrients in the water. It's, you know, it's the river pushes through there, even when it's low, and the salt water is on the bottom and the fresh water is on the top because of the it's laden with salt. But that fresh water is all the difference in the world. It makes aquatic vegetation. It makes the food source, and that's what it's all about. Is you got to have the food source in which to maintain millions and millions of food hours for all that many ducks. And a lot of places don't have it, and we're losing it. I mean, take right here where I'm at right now and close to Desalmans. There's not a speck of grass in the bayou, in the lakes, all the way to Lake Buff, all the way in Temple Bay. It used to be a giant grass bed. It's all the salt water has intruded so much, and they do not like the salt water. Plus, there's no nutrients and no food in it. And, you know, we've lost 2,400 square miles of land, but we've lost 10,000 square miles of habitat. Ducks eat the habitat, not the land. Yeah. So you gotta think how many, you know, there's just not enough food to keep them here anymore. Plus, you know, the short stopping issue that people talk about. You know, I don't have a gauge on that because I hunted flooded corn last year in Illinois and I had to barely scratch out a limit in it. And I you know, it wasn't like at home where I see tens of thousands of ducks in a day most of the time. You know, I'd see four coming from a mile away, and we'd kill those four, and then you'd see three more coming. It was sparse compared to what we used to hear.
Yeah, well, you got a very special place down there. There's no question about that. Well, the doe gree are up. If people are interested in sculpting, that's good news. They're up a little bit. Ryan, I guess you're taking bookings now for the duck season, huh?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so booked up. Miss Corman got a shoehorn trying to get people in there. It's gonna be busy.
Well,
I told her the other day, I said, well, we got a fall coming starting next week that I won't be able to breathe for 4 months.
Yeah. Well, look, I got one last text I want to share with you. It says that the plastic man, this person went to your mom's religion classes back in the late 70s, but the only time they saw you, you either loading or unloading a boat. Did you skip out of your mom's religion class?
I wasn't in her class. That was a different
I don't think
age
you were.
Group,
but you might have missed that class during duck season anyway. All right,
yeah,
Ryan.
I left home when I was 17 with that boat.
Catch you next week, my friend. Thanks for the report. We appreciate it.
All right. You're very welcome, buddy. We'll see you.
We'll be back next week with another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And this morning we have an extended version of the Plastic Man feature with Captain Ryan. He seems to be the most popular guy on the text message board for questions, and he joins us now. Captain Ryan, thanks for being with us as always, and man, I got a lot to talk about with you. First up, I had a guy wanted to know, he wants to get a new rod for speckled trout and red fishing. And you want to know what my favorite is? Just generically, I like to use a 6.5-foot medium action. If I'm throwing a top water, I like a little bit longer rod, maybe a 7-footer. But I've got a rod that I got from you, and it's got a Captain Ryan signature on it. It's a 6.5-foot, and it's like a medium action. But there's no brand name on it. It's got your signature on it. Can you tell me, if somebody wanted to get that rod, it's a casting rod with the cork handle. What brand is that?
Ryan Lambert.
So they can only get it through Ryan Lambert.
I actually had my own mandrel, which is a mofa rod made in China. I had three mandrels, actually. I had a 6.5, a 7, and I had a 7-foot spinning rod. And I started making the rods, and they were great because it was my own action that I designed, and it's really fast action on the tip. You know, it's got a lot of backbone, but it's got a lot of tip.
Exactly.
But you know, when I started selling them, people would break two or three at a time in the window and say, "Yeah, I broke all three of these fishes." I said, "You know what? I'm not doing this."
Yeah. So what would you say is the closest left? What do you say is the closest thing to it if you want to send them out to buy a rod? Because I really love it. I keep a Corrado bait caster on it, and it's my favorite rod to throw for specks and reds because it doesn't weigh you out. It's fairly light. Like you say, it's got that fast tip, but it's got some meat down on the bottom.
Right. So it's a medium action fast. Mm-hmm. So you want to get a 7-foot rod that's got a lot of backbone, but yet the tip is really light. You know, not too light, but just a fast action to where it comes down nice. And you can actually feel, you know, when you say it's fast or something, a lot of people don't understand it. But if you fish a limpy rod and you feel the trout, it's like it's slow. It's like it's slow. But when you get a nice tip that's got some backbone under it and it's the tiniest bit stiff, you could actually feel it right away. Boom, it's fast. You know, you can tell the difference. It doesn't have that dead spot in it. You know, you don't have to fish every day to understand it, but it's that good.
Yeah. All right, well, I got some other questions. The topic of the Happy Jack came up again with the naming, and somebody wanted to get a fishing report from Happy Jack, which is close to Port Sulphur on the west side of the river. You know, I know you don't fish there as much because there's been so much lost habitat over there. What can you tell people about fishing there?
Well, you know, when you go out to Happy Jack, you go, you know, normally you're going out to Bay Washington and all that, and, you know, that's common ground with a lot of camps and such, and there's a lot of speckled trout out that way. You know, people just go straight out and go to either to all the junk where the sulfur mine was, or they go towards Fort Bayou. You know, they're always going out. They don't just fish in the marsh and Happy Jack anymore. They're going out to fish speckled trout on the outside.
Right. Someone also wanted to know about fishing for triple tail and mangrove trips that you offer. You know, the mangroves, you can pretty well find those, but the triple tail, man, that's kind of a lanyap fish. You know, if somebody specifically wants to go for triple tail, you better be prepared to do a lot of boat riding and searching.
Yeah, you do. You have to, well, it depends on how you do it. You know, there's two or three different varieties of triple tail fishing, and one that's a lot popular that a lot of folks know about is just hitting the crab trap corks and going and going and going until you see one under there. Or, you know, coming up pretty soon, there'll be debris coming out the river, you know, like water lilies and stuff will start flushing out the river and the marshes, and they'll get under those. So you follow those and get them. Or you can get them on structures, you know, and that's something that you can do when you find out what section they're at, you know, rigs and poles and stuff like that. And that's how I like to do it because you catch a lot bigger fish.
Excellent. So if somebody did want to book one of those trips, can you put that together for them still this late in the season?
Yeah. Yeah, Captain Cody just got a 25-foot skeeter, so he'll be doing some of that stuff. You know, we like the mangroves and the cobias and all that stuff. So I think with that 25-footer, Cody will do a little bit more of that stuff. And I like it. I was going to do it today, and they said it was a gust of 30, and here it is dead calm.
Come on. Well, at 4:30 this morning, I saw it, they were reporting 23-mile-an-hour winds down at Southwest Pass. I guess that's changed.
Well, that's where I was going with Ed Sexton, so I'm glad it's blowing down there and I'm not there then.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here all heartbroken because I didn't go.
Well, it's possible because Belchase, which is not far up the road from you, is it was absolutely calm while it was 23-mile-an-hour wind, so it looks like it's down there on that lower coast. Ryan, stay with me. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this duck situation, about the whistling ducks. The department is requesting from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service we put them in teal season, and the numbers are out on the duck population, the breeding population, and some of it is not good, and it might bring about some changes in the regulations for next year. We're talking with the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, and you're listening to it on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we're talking with Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. And, Ryan, I guess you got the notice that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is requesting that we include the black-bellied whistling duck into the limits with the teal season. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a good thing if we could have another species out there. You know, I don't know. And the reason we don't have a wood duck or something, we're worried about identification. Well, you got to identify birds all year long. So no matter when it is, you have to identify your three wood ducks and your one model duck and your one pintail. You have to identify them anyhow. So what is the difference? Now, them getting that done this year, slim and none. You know, they don't move at all that fast. I mean, it takes 3 years just to see if you're going to have a three splits or two splits or how many zones. You got to do it in 3 or 5 year sequences. So nothing moves fast when you're talking about the feds.
No, I don't think you're going to see it for sure this season, possibly next season. Now, the 2024 waterfowl survey was completed on the number of breeding ducks. And you know, the thing that's disturbing to me is the blue-winged teal. The blue-winged teal is now down to 4.599, and blue-winged teal has regulations that if it's between 3.3 and 4.7, you only get 9 days, which is where we are now. You don't get any days if it ever drops below 3.3 million. I don't see that happening. But we've been enjoying the 16 days because it's over that 4.7. It's now dropped below that, so it's not going to affect this season, but next year we could be looking at a 9-day teal season.
Well, the good thing is that after they made the count, we had a massive rains up there, and the pond count went way, way up, and the water went way up, and there was some late broods coming. So we're going to have more ducks than what they counted, and they still talk about three pintails next year.
Right.
The gender is off or something like that. You know, there's too many males to the females, so I really don't know how, except all the people shooting them female wood gray ducks and counting them as, you know, saying they, you know, the gray ducks and they pintails, but we try not to shoot a female.
Yeah. Well, the numbers, the mallards are up, which is what they set the season on, the adaptive harvest season. They're based, whether you get 60 days or 45 or 30 days, is based on the mallard count, which really isn't that important because we don't see mallards
much in South
Louisiana at all. The gray ducks are down from last year.
Yeah,
widgeon is up 55% on the widgeon.
Big up on widgeons.
Green wing teal up 20%, but those blue wings are down 12%.
You know, and I wonder why. You know, it's kind of weird. They in the same ponds. It's just where they were. There's less ponds, and now there's a lot more ponds. I mean, the pond count really went up, and that's going to be really good for next year. You know, you got to have water, and when you have those dry ponds like we had, they're going down for the last 2 or 3 years. It really affects the ducks, but. The pintails, they nest in the fields, and that's the problem there. You know, so much agriculture just wiping them out. It's disheartening, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. But, you know, it's almost unfair to judge what you guys do down there. You know, I get reports from all over this state. I get reports from other states. And I got to tell you, there's no place more consistent, despite whatever conditions you got, that is going to attract more ducks than what you've got right down near the mouth of the river.
Yeah, well, you have it's the nutrients in the water. It's, you know, it's the river pushes through there, even when it's low, and the salt water is on the bottom and the fresh water is on the top because of the it's laden with salt. But that fresh water is all the difference in the world. It makes aquatic vegetation. It makes the food source, and that's what it's all about. Is you got to have the food source in which to maintain millions and millions of of food hours for that many ducks. And a lot of places don't have it, and we're losing it. I mean, take right here where I'm at right now, and close to Desalmans. There's not a speck of grass in the bayou, in the lakes, all the way to Lake Buff, all the way in Temple Bay. It used to be a giant grass bed. It's all the salt water has intruded so much, and they do not like the salt water. Plus, there's no nutrients and no food in it. And, you know, we've lost 2,400 square miles of land, but we've lost 10,000 square miles of habitat. Ducks eat the habitat, not the land. Yeah. So you gotta think how many, you know, there's just not enough food to keep them here anymore. Plus, you know, the short-stopping issue that people talk about. You know, I don't have a gauge on that because I hunted flooded corn last year in Illinois, and I had to barely scratch out a limit in it. And, I you know, it wasn't like at home where I see tens of thousands of ducks in a day most of the time. You know, I'd see four coming from a mile away, and we'd kill those four, and then you'd see three more coming. It was sparse compared to what we used to hear.
Yeah, well, you got a very special place down there. There's no question about that. Well, the doe gree are up. If people are interested in scalping, that's good news. They're up a little bit. Ryan, I guess you're taking bookings now for the duck season, huh?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so booked up. Miss Corman got a shoehorn trying to get people in there. It's gonna be busy. Well, I told her the other day, I said, well, we got a fall coming starting next week that I won't be able to breathe for 4 months.
Yeah. Well, look, I got one last text I want to share with you. It says that the plastic man, this person went to your mom's religion classes back in the late 70s, but the only time they saw you, you either loading or unloading a boat. Did you skip out of your mom's religion class?
I wasn't in her class. That was a different
I don't think
age
you were.
Group,
but you might have missed that class during duck season anyway. All right,
yeah,
Ryan.
I left home when I was 17 with that boat.
Catch you next week, my friend. Thanks for the report. We appreciate
All right. You're very welcome, buddy. We'll see you.
We'll be back next week with another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we'll talk with Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. And, Ryan, I guess you got the notice that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is requesting that we include the black-bellied whistling duck into the limits with the teal season. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a good thing if we could have another species out there. You know, I don't know what. And the reason we don't have a wood duck or something, oh, we're worried about identification. Well, you got to identify birds all year long. So no matter when it is, you have to identify your three wood ducks and your one model duck and your one pintail. You have to identify them anyhow. So what is the difference? Now, them getting that done this year, slim and none. You know, they don't move at all that fast. I mean, it takes 3 years just to see if you're going to have a three splits or two splits or how many zones. You got to do it in 3 or 5 year sequences. So nothing moves fast when you're talking about the feds.
No, I don't think you're going to see it for sure this season, possibly next season. Now, the 2024 waterfowl survey was completed on the number of breeding ducks. And, you know, the thing that's disturbing to me is the blue-winged teal. The blue-winged teal is now down to 4.599. And blue-winged teal has regulations that if it's between 3.3 and 4.7, you only get 9 days, which is where we are now. You don't get any days if it ever drops below 3.3 million. I don't see that happening. But we've been enjoying the 16 days because it's over that 4.7. It's now dropped below that, so it's not going to affect this season. But next year, we could be looking at a 9-day teal season.
Well, the good thing is that after they made the count, we had a massive rains up there, and the pond count went way, way up, and the water went way up, and there was some late broods coming. So we're going to have more ducks than what they counted, and they still talk about three pintails next year.
Right.
The gender is off or something like that. You know, there's too many males to the females, so I really don't know how, except all the people shooting them female wood gray ducks and counting them as, you know, saying they, you know, the gray ducks and they pintails, but we try not to shoot a female.
Yeah. Well, the numbers, the mallards are up, which is what they set the season on, the adaptive harvest season. They're based, whether you get 60 days or 45 or 30 days, is based on the mallard count, which really isn't that important because we don't see mallards South Louisiana at all. The gray ducks are down from last year.
Yeah,
widgeon is that. Up 55% on the widgeon.
Big up on widgeons.
Green wing teal up 20%, but those blue wings are down 12.
You know, and I wonder why. You know, it's kind of weird. They in the same ponds. It's just where they were. There's less ponds, and now there's a lot more ponds. I mean, the pond count really went up, and that's going to be really good for next year. You know, you got to have water, and when you have those dry ponds like we had, they're going down for the last 2 or 3 years. It really affects the ducks, but. The pintails, they nest in the fields, and that's the problem there. You know, so much agriculture, just wiping them out. It's disheartening, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. But, you know, it's almost unfair to judge what you guys do down there. You know, I get reports from all over this state. I get reports from other states. And I got to tell you, there's no place more consistent, despite whatever conditions you got, that is going to attract more ducks than what you've got right down near the mouth of the river.
Yeah, well, you have it's the nutrients in the water. It's, you know, it's the river pushes through there, even when it's low, and the salt water is on the bottom and the fresh water is on the top because of the it's laden with salt. But that fresh water is all the difference in the world. And it makes aquatic vegetation. It makes the food source, and that's what it's all about. Is you got to have the food source in which to maintain millions and millions of food hours for that many ducks. And a lot of places don't have it, and we're losing it. I mean, take right here where I'm at right now and close to Desalmans. There's not a speck of grass in the bayou, in the lakes, all the way to Lake Buff, all the way in Temple Bay. It used to be a giant grass bed. It's all the salt water has intruded so much, and they do not like the salt water. Plus, there's no nutrients and no food in it. And, you know, we've lost 2,400 square miles of land, but we've lost 10,000 square miles of habitat. Ducks eat the habitat, not the land. Yeah. So you gotta think how many, you know, there's just not enough food to keep them here anymore. Plus, you know, the short stopping issue that people talk about. You know, I don't have a gauge on that because I hunted flooded corn last year in Illinois and I had to barely scratch out a limit in it. And I you know, it wasn't like at home where I see tens of thousands of ducks in a day most of the time. You know, I'd see four coming from a mile away, and we'd kill those four, and then you'd see three more coming. It was sparse compared to what we used to hear.
Yeah, well, you got a very special place down there. There's no question about that. Well, the Dogri are up. If people are interested in scalping, that's good news. They're up a little bit. Ryan, I guess you're taking bookings now for the duck season, huh?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so booked up. Miss Corman got a shoehorn trying to get people in there. It's gonna be busy.
Well,
I told her the other day, I said, well, we got a fall coming starting next week that I won't be able to breathe for 4 months.
Yeah. Well, look, I got one last text I want to share with you. It says that the plastic man, this person went to your mom's religion classes back in the late 70s, but the only time they saw you, you either loading or unloading a boat. Did you skip out of your mom's religion class?
I wasn't in her class. That was a different
I don't think
age
you were.
Group,
you might have missed that class during duck season anyway. All right,
yeah,
Ryan.
I left home when I was 17 with that boat.
Catch you next week, my friend. Thanks for the report. We appreciate
it. All right. You're very welcome, buddy. We'll see you.
We'll be back next week with another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.